solar farms in three Wisconsin communities are facing pushback from residents. This comes amid a push from some legislators to give local governments more power in the decision-making. It's Tuesday, October 14th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a proposed bill could help more teens earn college credits while they're in high school. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments in a property dispute that could have ramifications for tribal sovereignty. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first-ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Several solar energy projects across Wisconsin are facing community pushback. As Joe Schultz reports, that includes two facing opposition from local governments.
The Fox Solar Project is in Oconee County, and the Akron Solar Project is in Adams and Wood counties. Both need approval from the state, but not from local governments. The town of Rome has filed to intervene in the state's review of the Adams County project, and the town of Morgan plans to do the same in Oconto County. Carl Hasdell is the town board chair in Rome. He wants local governments to have more say over big renewable energy projects.
We are locked out on the whole thing. We don't have any say in the matter, and that's just not right.
A Republican bill would require local governments to approve wind and solar projects before state regulators. Clean energy groups say that would make it harder to meet rising energy demand from data centers. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A former municipal judge in Milwaukee County is facing a criminal charge for allegedly making false statements on her nomination papers. Former South Milwaukee Municipal Judge Kelly Martika narrowly won her reelection bid in April, but she resigned in September when she was charged with false swearing. That's after Milwaukee County prosecutors alleged she had falsely certified her nomination papers needed to run for the position. The criminal complaint says Martika lied about obtaining all of the signatures on the form. The complaint said, quote, without the falsely certified nomination paper, Martika would not have gained access to the ballot. She faces a fine of up to $10,000 and 9 months in prison. The complaint also said she lied about her address and was primarily living at her husband's home in Racine when she was running for re-election. The South Milwaukee Common Council is expected to name her replacement in November. High school dual enrollment programs have more than doubled in the last decade, but participation is uneven. Corey Ness reports on a bill aiming to make the program more accessible for all students.
More than a quarter of Wisconsin's high school students are earning college credits through dual enrollment programs during the school year, but studies have shown that participation varies based on students' location and economic status. Dave Murphy co-authored a bill he says will expand access to students in rural and urban districts.
We need to make dual enrollment available to more kids, especially those in rural communities here in Wisconsin.
The proposal would create a portal for families to find dual enrollment opportunities. It also requires the UW system and technical college credits to transfer. An oversight council would ensure dual enrollment is accessible and affordable. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court has heard oral arguments in a case over tribal sovereignty. Property owners in a Milwaukee County development say they have clear restrictions on how the local property can be used or developed. They're suing a Menominee tribal member who bought the property and then transferred it into tribal trust and off county tax rolls. Eric Olson is an attorney for the Property Owners Association.
Not one mechanism has yet been suggested that would actually make the restrictive covenants vanish. They exist. They are valid and legally enforceable.
Attorneys for the tribe say that tribal sovereignty is federal law and should take precedent over local covenants. A lower court agreed with that argument, and now the Wisconsin Supreme Court will decide. Coming up, the price of living in manufactured home communities, often called mobile home parks, is rising, and some people are trying to combat that by creating resident-owned cooperatives. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, housing across Wisconsin is getting more expensive. Manufactured home communities, often called mobile home parks, provide unsubsidized, affordable housing to thousands of residents. But parks are raising prices across the country, a trend that advocates tie to more private equity ownership. One solution could be resident-owned cooperatives. But as Eddie Costello reports, forming a co-op isn't always an easy decision.
Countryside Park Cooperative is a tight-knit community with 20 manufactured homes. After living in the Barron County community for well over a decade, Morris Buzowitz can't walk outside without getting into a conversation with a neighbor.
I have a feeling about that. I don't like to walk in a park because I'm walking for exercise and there's too much conversation.
To actually get a workout, 83-year-old Buzowitz walks laps in the cemetery across the street. Buzowitz and his neighbors don't just chat about the weather. They run the park together. The community converted to a resident-owned co-op right before he and his wife started renting a lot.
It's worked out really good for 20 years.
Like many manufactured homeowners, they pay a monthly fee for the land their home sits on, but those fees don't go to a commercial owner. That's part of what drew them to the park.
It was a well-kept park, and that's part of being a co-op. People own part of the park, and they take care of it.
Members serve on the board, volunteer to mow the grass, and meet throughout the year to vote on big decisions.
It can be a solution for our housing crisis because it stabilizes existing manufactured housing locations, and it's a solution for addressing the loneliness epidemic.
That's Erica Young. She's the director for Housing Access and Affordability at the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy. It's a nonprofit research foundation focused on land use. She says that because co-ops like Buzowitz's don't pay out profits to members, residents' fees
are being plowed back into the community versus being extracted by an investor.
Buzowitz's monthly fee has stayed pretty much the same for 20 years when adjusted for inflation, but residents at new co-ops can see bigger jumps. Purchasing their communities often requires large loans, and once residents own their park, they're responsible for all the maintenance. Taking care of things like aging trees, roads, and sewage systems can be a lot of work, Young says.
They are a solution because not every community should become one.
Even when a co-op might be a good fit, owners have to be willing to sell to their residents. Some states like Minnesota offer financial incentives to owners who sell to co-ops. They also require owners to tell residents when they might sell. Wisconsin does neither. And residents have to be willing to run what is essentially a complex business. Vicki Breaker bought a manufactured home in Cedar Falls Acres 49 years ago and isn't sure she's ready to sign up for that. But the park's longtime owner is ready to sell. Breaker and other residents of the Dunn County Park won't have a say in who takes over.
Which we shouldn't, but yet it'd be nice if we could, you know, being that we're once to live in here.
If she could pick the park's next buyer, she'd want to see another local owner. But individual owners are becoming more rare as the industry has seen more consolidation and interest from investment firms. This summer, a nonprofit watchdog group found 79 of Wisconsin's manufactured home parks are owned by private equity firms. Experts estimate the state has more than 900 communities. Breaker worries that a large corporate owner would increase her rent.
I'd love to say, yeah, I can do that, no problem. But it would be very, very difficult. Very difficult.
But she still has a lot of questions when other residents discuss buying the park as a co-op. She worries that would result in a rent increase too. Co-op organizers say the growing interest from investment companies has meant bigger purchase loans for co-ops. Since hearing about the sale, she's thought about selling her home and looking for an apartment. That would mean giving up her carefully decorated lawn.
I just can't make myself do it. I love being outside.
But she might not have a choice, depending on the new owner's rent. Addie Costello, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecasts. Partly to mostly cloudy today. Chance for a little bit of light rain in the west this morning with highs in the 50s and 60s. Overnight cloudy and a chance for some light rain across all of Wisconsin with lows into the 40s. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks for being with us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.